Hey guys, welcome back to the Coach Mike podcast. I recorded this episode with Tinashe before the coronavirus hit, and I planned on releasing it right before she was going to be going on her sold out music tour that was happening in the summer. And I kept pushing this, you know, episode back each week, thinking that suddenly we would be able to release it because artists would be able to go on tour, but that has not happened. But I'm releasing it this week because her story is so inspiring. She's really tells us how to be your best self, how to reinvent your career, how to get back to your roots, and absolutely love her. So sit back and enjoy. Welcome to Tinashe.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming out. We've met once before.
We have. That was really cool.
Yeah, what do you remember from that meeting?
That was it was at the top floor of Roc Nation, and we were talking about, it was probably early on in my process of thinking about releasing this album, I think, and I was just debating on what I wanted to do and how I wanted to get things started and forming a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Well, it sounds like you've completely changed up your team.
Yeah.
And so what got you to the decision to change your team?
It just felt like it was time. It felt like it was all signs were pointing towards that in my life. And I think I'd felt that way for a while, but it wasn't like an overnight decision. It wasn't like something that was really quick like that. Mm-hmm. It was just something that I kind of felt like in my intuition. It was just telling me that I needed to make changes and I needed to kind of from the ground up rebuild my entire structure of how I was operating in the music industry. So that meant like leaving my record label and building a new team. And
how long have you been in the music industry? Like meaning in a way that feels real to you?
I signed my first deal in 2012 or 11. So a while now, like 10 years.
And how old are you?
I'm 27.
27. So you started when you were about 19?
Yeah. Yes.
And what was that process? Like, were you having big dreams of being a star, or was it?
Yeah. I mean, that was, again, not something that just happened overnight. I'd been building my career since I was really small. I was in my first movie when I was 5 years old. Started dancing when I was 4. I started making music when I was around like 14, professionally. And kind of moving into that as something that I did full time. And so it's been something that I've done my entire life, you know? So at that point, it was exciting for me because I felt like that was when I was getting ready to show the world who I was as an artist for the first time, as a music artist, you know, because I'd been doing acting and performing as all these other roles and stuff. So I was really excited.
And did you, because you've collaborated with some of the biggest stars, you've been on a huge. You've been on Beyonce's tour. You've collaborated with
Beyonce. Yeah.
I mean, who have you collaborated with? Just many people.
A lot of amazing people. I've been really, really lucky. Britney Spears. Let's see who else. She's always like the first person that comes to mind. Then I like forget everyone else. I like blank. She's amazing. Like ASAP Rocky, Schoolboy Q, Future, Nick Jonas, Enrique Iglesias. A lot of people.
Why do you think that is?
I love to collaborate.
No, but I'm saying so many women would love to collaborate with those guys. Right?
Yeah, like, totally.
Like anyone would.
For sure. 1,000%.
So was that what you envisioned as a kid?
I wanted to do it all. I want all the things. All that and more. Yeah.
Got it. And what has been the biggest kind of wake up call? Mm-hmm. Compared to maybe the vision you once had?
I think just the timing of it all. Mm. I thought that everything was going to be really, really easy, which I do think was very beneficial for me because I feel like that led me to kind of accomplish the things that I accomplished because I just had this like plan A, everything's going to work out kind of attitude about everything. I was very not jaded in the slightest bit, like completely. I give, you know, that a lot of credit for how I was able to just kind of manifest this entire life for myself because it's not like I had any particular help or, you know, into the industry.
Right.
You know, like my parents are from the Midwest. So it was interesting just in my life to see how that And especially once I started doing music, how that kind of changed and how the kind of noise of other people and the media and social media, people like that would like seep in, and how that would start to affect that perspective that never really had an effect on me, say growing up or anything like that.
Do you remember like a moment where it shifted, like where you were no longer not jaded about anything? You were like, oh, I trust it, I'm with it, this is like God, this is flow, this is amazing. And then there was anything that was just like hit the brakes?
I would say early on it was stuff with just like collaborative stuff with my record label. Like one was that like I really wanted a particular album cover, and at the last minute they're like, you can't have that album cover. And just something like that for me was like a moment where I realized that I just didn't really have that kind of control that I thought that I had, which I did for the most part. So it's hard to kind of say that that was, you know.
But it is a trip. Like, so I'm an author,
it honestly
right?
is.
So I'm on my second book. And the there's this whole thing where there's a committee, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many committees of voices.
So many people that right? have so to many approve, people, approve.
And that think they have the answer. Right?
Of like, course.
And this is it, and this is the hit, or this is the moment, or this is, and it sometimes gets really confusing because, especially when we're evolving in our career, we look towards different people and no one has the answer, right? Mm-hmm, like, truly, because no one's God.
Absolutely. And also, I feel like those voices at the same time, they're not necessarily trying to sabotage you. So that's the other thing that becomes confusing, because you trust these people and you want to believe that everybody does have your best interests at heart. And I mean, not maybe not everybody, but that most people, when they give you advice, that you should maybe take it into consideration. And I think that that only can go so far, because at the end of the day, you have to find that. You can't find that from outside sources, from other people. It really can misdirect you, I feel.
And looking back in your career, in the spotlight, what are some decisions you made that you knew you made for yourself and you're like, I'm so proud of that?
I mean, I made big decisions like early on that I can't believe that like I did. For example, just leaving regular public high school, like going out on a limb to like pursue my career as a full-time thing and not do the like normal school thing with the rest of my peers. Like that was a huge life shift, life change that I made, life choice that I made at what, 15 years old.
Yeah.
So that, you know, different things, just wanting to take my career seriously, from early on, releasing my first mixtape without, you know, like help, leaving my record label, you know, those things are all like pivotal moments where it was like, these are life shifting opportunities. Yeah.
And those, when you made a decision at 15 to pursue this, do you remember, was it internal voices that were like, oh no, maybe you don't want to do this? Or was that people in your life?
I think that's more like my peers, people that I would grow up around, that, you know, my friends, like people I would go to, say, like the Girl Scouts with, like their parents just like looking at me differently. People just like throwing little things
digs
here and there. Like, are you sure? Like, are you sure that this is what you want to do?
Right.
You know, it's pretty risky, you know, things like that. Like one of my so-called best friends, not my best friend, because she's always been there for me and she's still my best friend. But yeah, just like different things that I would go through. At the time, but it never came from my family. That was the other thing that I felt was very helpful for me, that they were such an incredible support system in every decision that I've made in my career since I was so, so young. And that, to have that kind of insight from their perspective, being a parent, and to allow me to kind of make those big decisions, I give them a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, it's amazing they let you shine what you wanted to shine.
Honestly, yeah.
And so in this last year, though, you were in a state, it sounds like, of confusion of what to keep, what not to keep.
Or I guess the year before.
Year before last.
Yeah.
And around, you were feeling pretty confused.
Yeah, 1,000%.
And what kind of made you feel confused?
Well, I think it was, I'd reached a point in my life where I just felt like everything seemed like it was heading towards a trajectory that was maybe comfortable, but I knew deep down wasn't where I ultimately wanted to be. And I had to make big changes in order to shift the narrative of my life, or like the direction that I was going. And that was like the big career decisions that weren't necessarily so easy to make. Like, you know, there, lots of those are personal relationships or relationships that you've built over what, like 7-8 years.
Yeah.
So that is a big deal to just kind of take a step back from those relationships. Those are like big.
Were there a lot of relationships?
I mean, like, from, you know, my management was something that I'd been with for what, like 8 years, 9 years, since the first time that I first created like a mixtape. Even before then, I knew my manager when I was in a girl group when I was like 16 years old or 15 years old. So those types of things, when you're making huge decisions like that, when people are like family to you and then you have to like walk away from that, that's something that's, it's devastating for a lot of reasons, you know, but I felt like it gave me the freedom, the opportunity to grow. Mm-hmm. And I was really ready for opportunities for growth in my life and just like the chance to become better literally in every single area and challenge myself, because I feel like I thrive the most when I put the pressure on myself. Mm. Like when I challenge myself to do these things, when I had like my back against the wall per se, that's easier for me to like kind of rise to the occasion than it is when, say, I have like this whole machine supposedly behind me that I think is going to do all these things for me and then they don't.
Right. And I imagine it gives you a confidence in yourself, because if people are telling you how to look or dance or sound and represent yourself and brand yourself.
Yeah.
Like at every level.
At every level.
And how do you set boundaries?
I think it's hard, because for me, like I said, again, that process was very insidious. It wasn't like very obvious. Like it wasn't like I wanted to do A and I had to do B. Mm-hmm. It was like I wanted to do A and I was allowed to do A, but it was like A.5. So it wasn't like fully 100% me. So that was how it would like kind of shift slowly but surely. And like, I can't blame anyone for those types of decisions either, because it was like I was trying to compromise or like be a good sport, or like also like I would agree with a lot of the decisions because I was like, that makes sense, you know, from hearing that perspective from other people. So I think the biggest difference, the biggest thing that I gained that you kind of touched on, like confidence, was especially in my songwriting and my music again, because that was something that I felt really like a lot of, honestly, like sadness that I'd lost that, like truly deep down, very sad to my core, like grief almost, that I felt like I couldn't, you know, be the same creative that I used to be. And that was because I felt like I just had no confidence in my abilities as a writer, artist, whatever. And when I just started doing everything myself again, then like that instantly reinvigorated and made everything feel so much better. Like,
and how much does that, when you say, because there's a lot of people around, so you come out with music and then do you hear like, it's not working?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Like, and this isn't working. And then you're like, but I love it.
Or it's like things that I would want wouldn't necessarily get the same kind of support and energy and excitement as, say, maybe stuff that I would create with other people who had like more accolades or like a bigger name. And to me, I would be like, well, that makes sense. But at this, you know, for me, I felt like a lot of the stuff that I was making was really good and it wasn't necessarily getting the same kind of appreciation. And that messed with my head. Yeah. Like it really, really, really messed with my head to where I was like, well, yeah, my stuff can't be that good.
Right. Like I you weren't trusting your own thoughts.
Exactly.
Your perspective changed.
So I'd get in the studio and I'd just sit there and be like, what should we do? You know, it would be a different, it's a different energy now where I'm like there. And like now it's just, it's
and you start to feel empty.
Yeah. Totally.
Which is so relatable. We all reach points, right, in our careers where we just start to go like, what? Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Like, what is my purpose?
It's one thing to like go through the motions, like play shows and like do photo shoots and like, you know, be working. It's another thing to like feel fulfilled in all of that. And I feel like the missing piece was just like that. It really came from myself, but it was supported by a lot of the stuff that was just around me.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
So you went through this period. You let everyone go. And then you came out with an album.
Mm-hmm.
So walk me through that process. So you basically were like, all right, I'm going to do this myself, and I'm dropping off. I'm shedding out all these other layers and
everything.
The machine's not behind me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it had to be liberating, but also scary.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say it was scary at first. The first thing that I felt was just complete like relief. And then, and then it got to excitement. I haven't really felt scared about it. It's felt so right since I made that decision that I can't ever say I really felt scared about it. It was before I did it that I felt the most fear about it. Once I made that leap, it was like, oh, okay, this is for sure the best. Everything's
good. It's almost like you made a decision to live in your art.
Yeah.
Fully.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what it was.
1,000%. And I feel like people can genuinely tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they can like recognize it in the art itself, or if they can just feel that difference between like what I've put into it and then what it gives back to them, I just think they can tell the difference.
Right. And you feel, because you feel different, it has a different energy.
Yeah.
And so leading up to the album, you came out with the album Songs For You.
Uh-huh.
And so now someone really gets to feel who you are.
Mm-hmm. That one-on-one interaction, that energy is... It's like an entirely other level of how I can connect with the people. Because the music is one thing. Mm. And then the performance is like, that's another thing that I just like love and thrive in. And just like feel like the most myself is like when I'm performing. It just brings this whole other character out of me. I don't know where it comes from. But it's like, that's the thing, you know?
Yeah. And you feel like you're
fully, what I live for.
You're fully living it now.
Yeah.
And so what is...
As much as possible, for sure.
And so what is the message of your art now?
I think it's just authenticity, like 100%. It's just like going for whatever that is with no apologies, you know? And no doubt behind it. And just like letting yourself be free in that. So I think that's kind of like the underlying energy behind...
Yeah.
Just the project itself.
And do you... What in terms of lessons you've learned, do you care about outcomes as much as you did?
No, it's different because I feel like So when I catch myself thinking about things like numbers or, you know, chart position, I start to realize that what I've gained in letting go of taking that as seriously is like is so much more than what I, you know, like you put so much energy and so much thought into taking those things into consideration that it bleeds into your art. It messes up your creative process. I really think a lot of artists, like when they start to mess up is when they start feeling pressure or they start feeling like, oh, I have to make this because people will like it more. Like you can't make art for other people. You really have to make it for yourself, and then other people will appreciate it because you made something amazing and dope that's meaningful to you, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like when people start thinking about like charts and numbers and making hits and all these things that I thought about for years.
Or if it's working.
Or if it's working or not, or like, should we shift direction? Or like, should we, like overanalyzing every single little move. It takes the soul out of everything, you know? It really just like, and that's where the magic is.
So how do you gauge, when you're living in your art versus not now? Like, is it a feeling? Is it a, like, how do you know?
I'm not 100% sure, but for me, it feels night and day different. So I'd say
it's a feeling. It's a feeling.
Yeah.
So can you think of something in the last few weeks that's come your way and you're like, that doesn't feel right.
Maybe just like brand endorsement deals or like collaborations, like songs that people have sent me or like beats that a producer will play. Maybe like that's one thing. Like I'd get in the studio with people and just kind of like be like, what do you think? And I'm just kind of past that also. It's like, what do I like? What do I want? Like, let's move past that. Let's create something new. Let's experiment. Let's get weird. Every time I'm like, play me your weirdest beat.
Let's get funky.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's more fun. How do you, who's on kind of your team in terms of trusting or making decisions? Like, is it your parents? You call your parents and say, hey, mom and dad.
Yeah.
I got this song. Check it out for me.
Well, I don't really, they listen to my music.
When you're really excited about it, do you call them?
Well, I'm really, really close with my family, my parents, my brothers. So I probably would play it for them first because I feel like their taste is a little bit more accurate. But my parents are amazing too. They have great taste and we're so close as a family. So yeah, I tell them everything that I'm excited about, like, but I also have a really great core group of friends. That I'm really lucky to have.
What I love about your story is, which is it's incredibly relatable, is having a lot of success, then running along what you believe or perceive instead of sticking with your art. And all of a sudden you end up in a spot. Then you're like, enough is enough.
Yep.
I need to rebuild and I just need to, I don't care anymore. I'm not cool with any of it. Whatever. I need to feel free. And you felt free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is all based upon you being authentic.
Absolutely.
And staying true to yourself.
Absolutely. It's crazy how people can tell, can just feel that energy, tell the difference. Like the feedback that I've gotten from even say like the creative community or like people that I work with, just on the difference between the music itself and just my energy as a person now versus say 2 years ago when I released my last album is just so different. And it's crazy how everyone can tell, you know?
Right. But most important is you can tell.
I can definitely tell.
And do you find that you've attracted different people now in this spirit versus before, even in your personal life?
I feel like it's more so that
I'm in heaven, by the way, with your authenticity. I'm
like, really?
Oh man, I feel so good. You're making me feel good. It's like, good. Oh yeah, reminders. Like, look, I'm much older than you, and I'm even a coach, but I'm like, yeah, back to the basics.
Yeah.
Back to the because that's where it all starts.
Exactly. And I feel like that's kind of what I was about to get to is that I feel like I've kind of more so drawn in tighter my other relationships. Or just like people that I really vibe with and like connecting with them on like a deeper level, on like a more intimate creative level, because my stuff is all right. You know, I feel like that energy has made all of my close relationships closer. If that makes sense.
I gotcha. And I imagine, I mean, this is just going into the studio.
Yeah.
And being a very attractive woman who has soul, who can sing, can is the best dancer in the game.
Oh, thank you.
But like, how do you, how does a woman set boundaries?
Yeah. Well, that's always a tricky one because I feel like that's kind of person to person.
For you though, yeah. Oh, it is person to person even for you.
For sure. 1,000%. And I also think that it's hard because a lot of the times like collaborative boundaries and then like personal boundaries are kind of different. Like I probably wouldn't let somebody that I just got to know stay at my house to like 4 a.m. on like a personal thing.
Right.
But like on a collaborative thing, like for sure, come over, like we'll hang out all night.
Right.
So it's just interesting how those things kind of coexist. And it is sometimes confusing when people kind of try to blur the line between the two for me, because obviously the collaborative thing is like all what I'm all about. And then like the personal thing is like secondary to me.
Does it happen a lot?
I wouldn't say a lot, but sometimes.
And what do you do?
I think, I don't know. What do? It kind of depends on the situation. Because
I'm thinking if I transfer bodies with you, if I was you and I was roaming around and I can dance like you can dance, I can sing like you can sing.
Yeah.
And I look how you look.
Yeah.
I imagine that, and I'm not, this isn't like I'm suggesting that you should be narcissistically you know, I'm top dog and I'm so amazing. But I imagine because you're such a star that, you know, you have to somehow navigate men being really flirty.
Yeah.
And I mean, and feeling like you're respecting yourself in it with like, hey, simmer down.
But like weirdly also, I feel like people don't really approach me too much like that.
They don't.
Not really. I don't know if like being like a girl in the spotlight kind of isolates you in a way. But yeah, not as much as I think people think.
Got it. So where do you end up meeting?
Like
you're sexually fluid.
Yeah. Yeah.
So men, women.
Yeah.
And how do you typically date?
I mean, I don't. That's the thing.
You don't date.
I don't. It's just kind of like whatever falls naturally into my life. And I stumble into those kind of things. Like those, every time that I've been in, say, a relationship, which is like what, like twice?
You've been in two relationships.
Yeah, two relationships. And one was when I was like 16, and then one was more recently. And those were things that I just kind of stumbled into. It wasn't things that I was like looking for or actively dating people. I haven't really ever, that's kind of outside of my comfort zone, honestly. Like just kind of like, let's talk to someone over here, talk to someone over there. I don't know. I've never really done that. I've never experimented with that.
With dating?
No, like traditional dating. No, not really.
Got
like it. I've never been on a dating app. Well, I have, but like for like a week.
Really?
Like, yeah, I didn't go out with anybody. Funny. Just, like entertaining.
Did you really put your face and name?
Yeah, but it was like a dating app for celebrities. Like whatever.
Oh, it was Raya.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that just didn't work out. So it sounds like dating is not that important to you in general right now.
Definitely not. It's never been, honestly. Since I was pretty like my whole life, I can never really think of a time where it was like really important to me.
Well, I always think it's interesting how much pressure there is to date.
Yeah.
Or to be in a relationship.
And
if you're not, somehow you're like, something's wrong with you.
Yeah. I was always really confused by that when I first got in the game in my career, especially people being like, why don't you date? Like, I'd be like, what do you mean? I'm like touring. I'm like on tour in South America. What do you mean? Like, how am I going to date somebody? That's never really been like, felt like it fit into my schedule.
Yeah.
So I don't even know. So if I've ever dated somebody, it was like, I was like, okay, this is going to mess my stuff up. So I guess I must really like you. It's not something
But you don't yearn it. is what I'm hearing. You don't crave
it. I mean, like from time to time. I mean, everyone's like human, right?
Yeah, but
like
it's not
that intimate connection for sure, but it's not, that doesn't fill me up truly. Like I know even if I'm in like a happy relationship, if my other stuff isn't like on point, I'm not going to be really, truly happy. And that's a problem. So when all of my career and stuff is going really well, then I feel like I'm able to even consider opening myself up for relationships. Like I'm happy.
I got it.
That's what makes me the most happy.
Do you have like spiritual beliefs and?
Yeah, for sure.
What do you do for your spirituality?
I don't know. I just kind of, whatever feels right. I don't really have like one specific belief system, but I'm really open to a lot of, you know, just putting out amazing energy, hearing a lot of discussions in spirituality. I've always kind of been interested in it since I was really young. So just kind of taking my journey and what that means for me. I don't know.
It's I got you. It's just whatever's aligned for yourself. And
kind
then, and when you want to get inspired, let's say you're like, well, I have two questions really. The first is, what type of dance or art or in life today in this last week has been really inspiring for you?
Well, I just did like a dance class with a couple of my, like one of my closest friends in the dance world that she kind of always says, like she even said to her students the other night that I was the first person that kind of gave her the opportunity or like gave her start per se as like a real professional in the industry as opposed to somebody who was just like maybe making YouTube videos and that how much that meant to her. And she's just like so special and so genuine and like just killing it and giving this kind of gift and confidence to so many other people.
Who is that?
Her name's JoJo.
Oh, I know JoJo. Yeah, JoJo. I've danced with JoJo.
Yeah?
Yeah, she's I did a class with JoJo.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She's so great. So like to hear that kind of was really inspiring. And I was like, well, that was yesterday or two. Yeah, the day before.
And you choose everything you wear now?
Yeah.
So you don't have people dressing you? And
I mean, like, I'll get maybe a stylist for, like, an event or, like a shoot or something like that. But, yeah, I mean.
Everything's you.
Yeah.
Okay. So you.
And all those decisions are all mine, you know? It's never going through, like, this chain of command that we kind of talked about
earlier. Yeah, yeah, I gotcha. It's all if you want to bring in a stylist, you bring in a stylist.
Yeah.
And you're making the decision.
And even with, say, a stylist, then I'm still like, I like this. I don't like this. You know, like there's a specific direction and like concept behind like pretty much everything that I'm doing.
So what, how do you find ways to get creatively inspired? Like what works for you with kind of charging you up?
Being in nature, being around my family, just feeling like a complete person ever that day. I'm like a really big believer in like just kind of making yourself as happy as possible every day. So like even if you don't feel like doing something that day, then like you shouldn't do something that day. Like especially in terms of like the creative process, like you can't force it. You have to be in a place where you feel kind of like your tank is full in order to kind of give your best, at least for me. So yeah, I just like to do stuff that I think is fun. I like to go to lunch. I like to hang out with my friends. I like to go on hikes and be outside. Be around my family.
It sounds like since you've been really inspired lately. So it sounds like what you've done to recharge and get into it is you're making all your decisions now and you're owning it and you're confident in them either way.
Yeah. Because I'm unapologetic about making those decisions. You know, it feels to me like for better or worse, this is what I've chosen. And that's going to, you know, translate to people. So that's what's important now.
I love it. And so you have a close friend that you run things by, or is there, now that you don't have a huge team? Yeah, just like, do you have a go-to person you call with your creative stuff?
Not, I have a few really close friends that I trust from different creative kind of perspectives, like a couple friends that I'll always like play songs for that I'll see what their reaction is. A couple friends that I'll like always ask like if they just think something's cool or not. Like people right. that I just think have good taste. You know, I have friends that I think have amazing taste. So just those kind of things. And then I have, you know, like a friend who anytime that I feel on like a personal level about anything that I can hit. And that's also really obviously important. So I have different friends for different things.
Yeah, I think it's important our team. Like I find I have a friend who when I'm in a having a tough day, mm-hmm. like let's say I'm just, the thoughts aren't aligning, the feelings aren't aligned. I didn't get a good night's sleep. Mm-hmm. I'm like overwhelmed, don't know what to do. I actually, like someone on my team, my decision team, is someone that I know has had the roughest childhood.
Yeah.
Who's like, I don't call a therapist.
Right.
I don't call someone even in my own industry. I call someone who I'm like, he knows how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting how we choose people, mm-hmm. Even with who we perceive would think something's cool or mm-hmm. would sound right or right movement mm-hmm. based upon just our own vibing with them, right?
Yeah.
That's what I also think is a spiritual thing is like how we're connected to other people.
For sure.
Because
I feel like I'm connected. Yeah, exactly. I'm connected to so many different people, collaborators, friends on such different levels or in such different ways. Like we all really have very different relationships. I don't have the same relationship with like anybody.
Yeah.
You know, even like say my two different brothers, like the relationships I have with the two different brothers is so different. My two different parents. So it's interesting how you connect.
Well, we have the Universe Decides wheel.
Oh,
that I'm
going
to have you spin.
Fun.
So everyone who comes on the podcast spins the wheel.
All right.
And you're going to take a spin on this. And nothing is too dangerous.
Okay.
And let's see if we can get this bad boy going right. All right. So what you want to do is you just want to hit the wheel.
Okay. Oh, okay.
The wheel is spinning and is landing on a celebrity impersonation.
Wow. do I have any good ones? Okay. I can do like Shakira. Oh gosh, all right, this Shakira. Is so embarrassing. You guys, don't get mad at me. Don't drag me. Okay, should I do it?
There's no dragging allowed.
Yeah, no dragging allowed.
Base, you know? We do not drag people. We lift people. Even okay. for terrible impersonation.
Okay, ready for my Shakira? Okay. Okay.
Oh, the movement, too. No, you got the movement.
I'm gonna laugh so like I can't look at anybody. Okay. Okay, maybe I should. Okay. 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 Lola, 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 wherever, whatever, we're meant to be together. I'll be there and you'll be here.
You even had the eyes going too.
Did I?
Yeah, you were out there. I was like, "Who is she looking at?" She had the moment.
Oh, you're
yes,
sweating.
Yes, that was good. That was good.
Oh yeah.
All right. Thank you.
That's the most embarrassing thing I've ever done in my life.
It was powerful. It was really powerful. We're changing lives. All right. Spin that wheel.
Okay.
All right. The next.
I'm like, what else?
What do we got here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Most embarrassing moment.
One time I flew on a private jet with this guy to a destination that was very humid, and I was getting off of the jet, and I was on the top step, and I was on the top step, and I slipped, and I went do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and I fell down the entire steps, and then, like scratched up my whole back, and I was, like, bleeding, and I was like, I'm fine.
Oh, no. Oh, you were like, I'm fine. It was nothing.
I was like, did anybody see that? Okay.
It's so embarrassing.
Nothing to see. And so painful. Embarrassing.
It sucks when it's embarrassing and painful because you're like, God, I'm now feeling that embarrassment.
And then you're like trying not to walk like it hurts.
Yeah.
Because that's even more embarrassing.
Yeah.
That was bad. Good times.
Spin that wheel.
Favorite part of my body?
The favorite part of your body.
Probably my dimple.
Your dimples?
I kind of have like a fake one on this side. Like it's They're not cute. Like a, it's not like a whole one, but like this one's popping.
You got the popping dimple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And one last spin.
Okay.
Wow, it's such an aggressive spin you just gave. All right. Ooh, what is my drag queen name?
Probably Nashe. Probably Nashe.
Nashe?
Mm-hmm.
Mine would be Delight Flintlock.
Yes. How did you come up with that?
Well, it's my dog's name.
I was going to say my street name too, but I didn't want to like drop the Addy, you know. Your dog's name?
Well, my first dog was Delight, and then I grew up on Flintlock. Cute. So Delight Flintlock.
It's a good name.
Yeah. They also say that's what you say is when you want your stripper name. You come out with your...
Okay.
You know, your dog in your street. So you would be Nashe.
Yeah, Nashe.
So that would be like Nashade or Nashe?
Nashe.
Nashade.
Nashe.
Got it. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your story. Thank you. Yeah. That was Tinashe. What a bummer. Her tour was postponed due to the coronavirus, but you don't have to miss out on her music. Download it, stream it. Hit her up on social media. I think it's always great when we tell other people what's inspiring about their story or their music. During times like these, it keeps all of us motivated to get compliments from other people. Also, please download in other episodes or you can subscribe to this podcast. I'm going to be pivoting. I'm going to be coming out with a new podcast series called Always Evolving. And they're going to be 20-minute short, incredible, magical, amazing, full of tips and solutions that we can apply to our own lives. So if you've been downloading every week this podcast, I'm going to be pivoting a little bit, and I'm really curious your guys' thoughts once I do that. So we'll talk very soon. We're all always evolving. Bye for now.